It's the Full Force Movie News Burst Extra, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me to discuss the recent news that a new G.I. Joe Transformers live-action movie is possibly in development is the General himself, Justin Generals Joes Bell. So, on the last movie news burst, it was revealed by industry insider Daniel Richtman that a new live-action G.I. Joe Transformers crossover movie is in development. First off then, Justin, have you gotten over the fact that a regular Joe movie was in the works yet?
Yeah, it seems like maybe we should do that first and then worry about the Transformers thing, but, I guess whatever floats Lorenzo Di Bonaventura's boat is kind of what we're going to be... stuck with this.
Oh, yep. You had to start on a downer. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, well, it's a rumor, but this Daniel Richtman guy, industry insider, has popped up with little gems in the past.
Definitely.
But in a bit of relation to what you just said there, the recent Joe and Transformers movies haven't really hit the right notes, I would say, aside from Bumblebee, personally.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they do it right?
Well, I think the part of the problem, it's sort of historically what Hasbro has struggled with a little bit, Hasbro and Paramount both, it's tough to explain. I think if they wanted to do it right, I think Bumblebee was their opportunity to do it right. I mean, it took place in the past. It was kind of a good jumping on point. It was sort of a soft reboot, you know, to kind of, bring Transformers back into the public consciousness. It obviously had some pretty strong ties to an established military group in the Bumblebee film. You know, there was all this talk about John Cena and whether or not he might actually be Duke or some surrogate of Duke or what have you.
Yeah.
It feels like that was the time and they didn't. So it's like, as much as I love to see G.I. Joe sort of in the public consciousness and being, relevant again, pop culture, in the pop culture mindset, at some point they got to get their crap together. And I think this very much smells like throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and hope something sticks. We're planning this solo film, we're planning this Transformers film, we're planning this, we're planning that. And we're hoping that by planning, eight things simultaneously, maybe something will be worthy of actually producing.
Mm.
On the other hand, I think a lot of this stuff happens and we're just not aware of it.
True.
I would say hundreds of movies are in development and a dozen yet made. So who knows? They could be talking about writing scripts. It could mean nothing. It could be something we see in 5 years. It's tough to use those words in development and take them seriously and translate that into something is being prepped for actual release.
And that in development saying that they use as well, it's so vague and broad. It's always like if someone's having a conversation about possibly doing some sort of movie,
right,
that is a stage of development. Do you know what I mean? So
yes,
it's like
absolutely,
one of those things that you can kind of say and get away with at any stage of the process.
Yes.
And until it gets to that point where it's like, director on board, writers have begun work on it or whatever, or refining the original first draft of the script, and then casting starts happening. Until that happens,
yeah.
I mean, we were kind of umming and erring whether Snake Eyes was going to go on, even after they'd got their second unit going out and doing all of the stuff. So, it's you can't really be definitely certain until those things start moving.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look back, a handful of years, they had these big stories where they were building this writing room to bring together this Hasbro combined universe. They were paying like some pretty big name writers and producers to create this thing, and then they got to that point and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So I would say anybody saying anything's in development, that's got to be taken with a pretty large grain of salt. That being said, I think the fact the conversations are happening is a good thing. I think a lot of that will probably depend on sort of how Rise of the Beasts ends up doing, which is sort of another example of throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall to see what sticks, instead of doing, an actual Beast Wars movie, they're kind of throwing Beast Wars in with Transformers. They're bringing Unicron in, even though they already kind of brought Unicron in a previous movie. I mean, it just kind of smells like throw everything out there and cross your fingers. Which I think is something that a lot of these combined universe attempts really, really struggle with. You know, Marvel obviously has set the gold standard, but everybody
because they've done it the right way, though, haven't they? Like, everyone else tries to do it in the first film. It's like, we're just gonna dump everyone together, and it's a team up, and boom, here we go.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, I personally think it would be great if we could get, like, you know, the Rise of the Beasts as a little... Well, there won't be now, I doubt it. But, like, if they were thinking ahead, to get something in there that hints at maybe the military aspect coming into it, right? And then that becomes G.I. Joe. But like you say, they've had so many opportunities to do that. And they've never just laid the groundwork, even in the smallest way. Like, just basically aligning the universes from day one. It didn't even have to be like a big thing, just like an homage or a little cheeky drop or something that big fans would know and maybe most Transformers fans wouldn't care or realize. Do you know what I mean? Like, that
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. And because that hasn't happened, I wonder if it would just be better to start from scratch, get an individual movie out there, and then, like, start to weave the, you know, the kind of, like, universes together very subtly with your post-credit scenes, with little drops here and there in other elements, and then do something on a big scale.
Yeah, and that's what people don't always realize when it comes to the MCU. They see kind of the final product, and they forget sort of how it got to that point. And, you know, it started with Iron Man. It started with a single movie. It started with a little Easter egg after the credits. And, you know, honestly, you know, if I remember right, I've read bunches of articles on sort of the development of the MCU. And if I remember right, at that point, they didn't even know
if it would
become anything. They were just kind of like, throw that Samuel Jackson scene in there, you know, just see what happens, see if anybody latches onto it. And then Iron Man, you know, I wouldn't even say it went gangbusters. It did very well, and well enough for them to kind of do another film and sprinkle another Easter egg there. But it started off very slow, methodical. And the most important thing was that they did, you know, quality movies to kind of draw that audience in. You know, they focused on a single corner of that universe, did it very well, and then sort of let things build. Mm. You know, this whole idea of people being a little, you know, Hollywood being a little afraid to do that. And they want to, like, they want to take a shortcut. They don't want to have the, you know, 12 $500,000, you know, $600,000 films that led up to the billion-dollar franchise. They just want the billion-dollar franchise,
right.
And it's I don't think it's going to work that way. It certainly hasn't for DC. You know, we've seen all sorts of failed attempts here and there, and I'm not confident enough in the individual IPs that Hasbro has under its belt that they'll be willing to take this time and kind of develop it in the same way. I wish they would.
Yeah.
But I'm struggling to see. And to be fair, I think Marvel is suffering from some of that themselves as we go into phase five, where a lot of their films are kind of shoehorning all these other things in here. You know, Doctor Strange brought in America Chavez and Scarlet Witch, and then, you know, the whole Spider-Man No Way Home with all the different, you know, multiverse
Spider-Man, yeah.
And then Ant-Man, you know, with Kang, and then or Wakanda Forever, I guess, is the one I was thinking of, where they brought in Ironheart and Namor. You know, they're kind of I think there's a little bit more of an organic nature to Marvel, but you can sort of sense that they are falling into this trap that others have already fallen into as well, where they feel the need to, well, we've got to bring this character in and this character in and this character in. And instead of letting some of this stuff organically build, it's sort of feeling a like a little bit of a jumbled mess, you know? I mean, so I think
that with
Marvel isn't innocent in that regard. They're kind of, they're become victims of their own success in a small way, but, you know, I have faith that they'll kind of figure that out. But
With Marvel, like, it's one of those things where the main kind of, like, characters that we've known for so long are kind of done now, and, like, you know, Iron Man's story arc has come to a, you know, full circle, basically, done. Captain America's done. Thor's effectively done. So you've got all of, like, those Hulk, you've got all of those kind of major Avenger kind of top tier characters, and now we're getting to, like, the next level down, kind of rate coming up to be like the leaders and the Avengers and all this kind of stuff. And unless you have, you know, like the casting that they had with Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth and, you know, Scarlett Johansson and all that kind of stuff, unless you know, have real, like, spot on casting and movies and stuff, it's going to be difficult to, like, catch that fire again. Like, the beauty part with Marvel is because it's built such a huge franchise, it can kind of get away with just knocking
they've got the momentum
out. And every now and again a gem comes out and people enjoy it, but then, you know, they throw another couple of Guardians of the Galaxy is getting great reviews at the moment.
It is, yeah, it is. That's getting great reviews, and, you know, as frustrated as I've sort of been with, you know, Quantumania and Wakanda Forever and Doctor Strange and those other movies, you know, I'm still going to be watching, you know, Secret Invasion the minute it's released on Disney
Plus.
That looks
so good.
I'm really looking forward to that. Yes. Yeah, and the upcoming Echo series, and of course Daredevil Born Again, and there's a bunch of stuff I'm still really fired up for in spite of sort of Marvel's own stumbling blocks.
Yeah. Having said that though, Justin, right?
Yeah.
Like, we just talked Marvel and all of the characters that involves and all of the shows they have, it's actually a lot less convoluted for G.I. Joe and Transformers here, because you're only talking about two major kind of things going on, really. And yes, there are a lot of characters in each, but it's not like you have to delve into all 300 all 300 Joes, or all 600 Joe characters, or, like, you know, 300 Cobra characters. It's not like you have to do that. You can literally, you know, have, like, the minimize it a little bit and kind of bring it in slowly but surely. And the same with the Transformers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think what's unique about G.I. Joe and Transformers a little bit, and maybe it's not as unique as I think, but they've got very core groups of small teams that are very, you know, pretty instantly recognizable and are kind of built to restart the franchise. But then they've got these tons of kind of supporting characters who, if they're developed right, can come in and carry films or episodes or whatever on their own too. So they've got this core cast, but they've also got pretty well-known supporting cast. And I guess that's true of Marvel too.
Yeah.
Where you have characters like, you know, Shipwreck and, you know, Alpine and Bazooka and, you know, kind of these characters that are certainly not top tier, but who people recognize and remember.
Yeah.
And if you take the time to give them life and personality and whatever, you could build stories around them. I think, you know, Chuckles from that, you know, Cobra limited series from way back when is a perfect example of that. You grab Chuckles, some dude in a Hawaiian shirt who barely got any screen time anywhere. And
he's
then
a cult hero, Chuckles.
He is. Yeah. And they built that comic series around him, and he carried it. You know, he won that series won all sorts of awards. It did pretty great, pretty good in the readership. It's done well enough that Chuckles has sort of transcended his original place and become a little bit of a more important character, I think, long term. I mean, he's kind of, there's rumors of him in Classified, there's rumors of him leading a movie, you know, I think that's because of that comic series, I think.
Related to that, right, why is it that Marvel get, like, the opportunity to put scripts to comics, right? They literally go, right, Skrull Invasion, you know, Avengers, Infinity War, Endgame, all that stuff. They can literally more or less take storylines from comics and bosh them out. Why can't they do that with G.I. Joe? Considering you just mentioned that Chuckles one, I think that would be the perfect G.I. Joe movie to do.
Yeah.
Just make it a little bit edgy, a little bit gritty, but then you've got the humor. Yeah. Chuckles can be funny. Get a real charismatic actor to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can introduce, like, Jinx. You can introduce so many other characters that are in that, you know, that series. And obviously they went really crazy with it towards the end. I mean, you were getting, like, Big Boa and Serpentor and the twins were in there. So, you know, you could really kind of go to town with a Chuckles series in actual fact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you make that, you build it around kind of the formation of Extensive Enterprises, you know, with the twins and how Cobra is sort of this sinister kind of, you know, influencing corporate agendas and things like that in the background, as they sort of did. And you can really kind of show Cobra being born, you know, and still show links to the other elements. And you're focusing on Chuckles, so you don't have to worry about this sprawling cast of characters that dilutes, you know, individual personalities. Yeah. I have no idea why they can't do something like that. I think something like that would do exceptionally well, a very character-focused single film to start with, showing the very beginnings of Cobra, establishing Chuckles as who he is, bringing in some of those supporting characters you mentioned, basically aping that comic series and just translating it to film. I don't see a reason why they can't do that. I think the only thing that stands in the way is just Hasbro's desire to kind of market G.I. Joe more towards a general low-level audience and be not low-level as
I know what you mean, like more broad
kids and stuff, broad audience, which who might not fully appreciate the complexities of, you know, that Cobra series and might want to see G.I. Joe as kind of a superhero team rather than undercover, you know, military intelligence, that sort of thing. So it's a difficult situation. I think, as we've mentioned before, Hasbro needs to figure out what they want to do. They're never going to please all parties. So they've either got to lean one way or the other and stop trying to split the difference because they end up pleasing nobody.
Yeah.
And that's been the issue they've had. You know, Snake Eyes would have been a perfect opportunity to look at what the comics did, what made Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow so successful, and bring some of those elements into the movie. And so they, you know, had magic crystals and giant snakes. Yeah. And it just kind of, and I don't think those are even the worst part of the movie, but it just didn't.
Do you know what? Like, you know, the fact that, you know, you could do like a Transformers G.I. Joe crossover, right? Mm-hmm. Make all the mysterious elements Cybertronian. Don't make, you know, like that, that would like make a lot of sense. So rather than just jumping straight in there and doing that with like a magic rock, I still don't really understand why that was the kind of MacGuffin, as it were, because it really does, it kind of takes you out of reality a little bit. You don't really know where you are in the universe. Like, it just feels like, is it real? Is it kind of like, it feels more dreamlike than anything else. And so, like, I figure if they'd have done something far more grounded with Snake Eyes, and then, you know, maybe there might have been mysterious, unexplained phenomena in it, but it's just technology, and it's like technology that we're not, like, you know, maybe that it's hinted at with a, you know, like a screen as they're going past, like, as they're doing that, like, you know, the screens that are coming up on and showing you like Cobra and like images and pictures and all that kind of stuff that's floating around. You could have something in there that was like, you know, the Decepticon symbol, like, just in the corner.
You could even do that with the Chuckles series. You could have Extensive Enterprises coming out with this, like, you know, big invention
like a tech firm.
It could be a tech firm, and they're kind of like, well, you know, how are they getting the state-of-the-art tech? And Chuckles infiltrates and locates this secret cache of alien technology that they don't understand that ends up being Cybertronian. I mean, it wouldn't even be that complicated.
No. And you wouldn't even have that, wouldn't even have to be explained. It wouldn't even have to be like, this is alien technology. You'd just be like, this is stuff we've never seen before. And then you move on, and then you carry on with the story. And so, like, and then, you know, you lay the foundation bit by bit. They're doing more foundation laying in the narrative of the images on the classified boxes than they are in the movie spectrum.
Yeah,
it drives me mad. It drives me insane.
It's crazy.
The thing as well, like, you know, all of this that we're talking about, you know, I could definitely see, you know, being done. They've already talked about Chuckles as a movie. They've talked about the Infinity Mask, Hunt for Infinity Mask, which I think they trademarked, but we haven't heard anything of that since. I doubt we'll see anything of that. I think we're beyond kind of mysterious MacGuffins like that, and it turns into more like Indiana Jones or something, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, let's do something fresh, new. It doesn't have to be like violent, but it could be edgy, and it could be a little grittier. It doesn't have to be like this polished thing. And I think something where you've got a character like Chuckles is perfect, because you've got the humor based with the tragedy of what he's doing and the horrible things he has to see and do for the you know, the benefit of you know, stopping Cobra and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but maybe that would be the conflict as well, that we'd be like, from a drama point of view, would be how he's dealing with it and how he, you know, operates as this kind of, I suppose he'd be like an anti-hero, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and it's nothing more extreme than what they've done in them. And I don't mean to keep on coming back to Marvel, because I keep on coming back to that, but it would be no more extreme than what they've already done in Marvel. I mean, they already established the Black Widow as this morally gray character, used to be an assassin who's done terrible things, but for the good of, you know, not necessarily democracy, but for the good of saving the world.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole arc of Civil War was built around, you know, sometimes people get hurt, sometimes people die, sometimes, you know, you can't save everybody. And I think, you know, nobody's going to argue that the MCU is not suitable for a wide, you know, child-facing audience. I think they, you know, kids are more mature than I think people give them credit for. You don't need to throw magic rocks at them to attract them. You know, they've grown up online.
I've tried throwing them.
So, I mean, you know, I'm being a father myself. I've kind of seen how, you know, this exposure to this online world does make them mature a little bit more quickly sometimes, maybe sometimes even more quickly than you'd like. But I think the point is, you can't it's not the 80s anymore, and you know, 8-year-old, 10-year-old kids aren't, you know, they need something a little bit more, you know, active in the brain to kind of be captivated.
Yeah, totally.
They're not just pretty colors and bright lights.
Finally then, one more thing before we go, because obviously this is about Transformers G.I. Joe crossing
yes.
over.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that much. Huh?
No. Not Marvel, but Transformers crossing over with G.I. Joe. What would you like to see in terms of like some little character combinations? My personal favorite, I'm going to go with mine first, is Flint and Sideswipe, because then Flint could drive him just like his flashy red sports car in the Sunbow cartoon.
Like his red sports car.
Yeah.
That would be great. I mean, there are so many you could go with as far as, you know, I mean, you could do, you know, Ace with some, you know, Jetfire.
Jetfire
like
and
that,
Ace would be dope, wouldn't it?
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. I'm trying to think of who like a Transformers sort of, you know, ninja character that could team up with Snake Eyes or whatever. I mean,
oh,
you could do Mirage, I guess. You
no,
could do
what's,
Nightbird if you
what's
wanted to
his
go
name?
That deep.
Drift.
But...
Drift is the ninja, isn't he?
Oh, Drift. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, Drift.
Drift and Storm Shadow would be pretty cool because Drift's white as well, isn't he? He's got like the
They've
white.
They've got that color matching going on. Yep. There's tons of different things you could do with that sort of combination. And yeah, I don't know. It'd be fun to watch. I will give it that. And if using Transformers, you know, if Rise of the Beast comes in and does $1 billion and it becomes a monstrous franchise again, and using that to catapult G.I. Joe in a way is what they have to do. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to turn my nose up at it. You know, yes, I would have preferred they did it a little bit more organically, a little bit more, you know, cautiously. But if, you know, if back in 2007, if they'd leveraged that massive Transformers movie to launch G.I. Joe and it had caught on and been successful, you know, we could be in a whole different world right now. So I think, you know, whatever they have to do, I'm willing to support them in doing it. I really hope they can kind of take a breath and do it in a little bit more thoughtful way. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I think a lot of it hinges on Rise of the Beast. If it comes in and kind of goes at the box office, you know, everything's kind of off the table. But
totally. And I will say as well, this is from Daniel Radcliffe,
I've completely forgot
his
name.
Yeah, Harry Potter, Daniel Richtman. Obviously, this is like we said, this is news from Daniel Richtman, who is an industry insider, and he has kind of broken in like information in the past. So he's saying this is in development. We don't know what stage that is. Very likely just talks at the moment. And I would expect actually to hear from Lorenzo de Bonaventura at some point, because he likes to talk about this stuff way in advance anyway, probably just gauging interest a lot of the time.
Well, didn't this Daniel Rickman leak, didn't it come from a conversation he had with Lorenzo de Bonaventura? I think I saw that somewhere. He has like a paid tier Patreon or something like that he releases some of these more concealed information through, and I think that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah, and which again, like to hear it from Lorenzo and more kind of, you know, public sense would be great. When we do, we'll kind of know roughly where we're standing with that. I've got a funny feeling that their idea or their ideas at the moment is to see how Rise of the Beast does, and depending on how good that is, maybe that's what will, you know, continue the development of all the other films that we've been talking about recently. And that could, I mean, you know, we could be hoping here for a really good movie outcome here for Rise of the Beast, because if it's a crap box office, we might be back to square one again.
Oh, totally. And you know, the box office is so hard to predict these days. You know, I don't have my finger on the pulse of what is going to catch fire and what's not. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, is doing fairly well. I don't think it's blowing anybody's doors off, but it's doing all right. I remember we had this conversation kind of offline, you, me, Patty, a bunch of other folks, about Dungeons and Dragons, who, you know, I saw that opening day, another Hasbro property. I really enjoyed it. I saw it with my daughter. She really enjoyed it. Has gotten great word of mouth. You know, you hear about it everywhere. You see the toys on shelves. You're like, oh, finally, Hasbro's got, a success. And then you hear the box office and they've barely broken even, if that.
Yeah.
And there's no guarantee there's going to be a sequel. So it's kind of like, you know, you don't know how this stuff is going to shake out. I want to think Transformers are going to do pretty well.
Yeah.
I worry a little bit that the Bayverse stuff left a sour taste in people's mouth. I know Bumblebee didn't explode or anything. It did fine, but I don't think it was a rousing success.
It was more a critical warmth than it was
exactly.
yeah
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, who knows? Maybe maybe Rise of the Beast will kind of, you know, reignite the franchise. That'd be great.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. For it. Yeah.
Fingers crossed on that one. Breaking news as we're on the talking as well. Marvel apparently have got the ROM rights back. So Marvel might be doing some sort of thing with ROM soon. You kind of wonder. You kind of wonder if, you know, would Transformers and G.I. Joe possibly be going in a similar direction at some point, but I doubt it in the end of the day.
That's very interesting, because I know, yeah, I know Hasbro had the rights to make toys for ROM, right? I don't know how that licensing all...
Not at all, not sure like, at all about the details. I just know that they've got the licensing back, I guess, to do the comics or to do the comic-based stuff. So, interesting. Yeah. Anyway, throw it in there at the end, just as a random thing.
That's cool. Anyway,
Justin, thanks, buddy, for jumping on and chatting with me about the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover developments. If you could get the first draft of the script on my desk by tomorrow morning, that would be great.
Dude, I would write a G.I. Joe script or a G.I. Joe Transformers script in a second. You know, I mean, if I had any screenwriting skills, I don't know if novel writing translates to screenwriting.
They do it in about a second as well, usually.
It seems like it. Yeah, yeah. Let me just fire up ChatGPT and have them spit something out for me.
Yeah. You joke, but I bet some of them are doing that at the moment. My
scary,
goodness, it is scary,
scary stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
as the writers are on strike, they use AI to.
That is a great point. That's good. Before we go, that's got to affect all these in development projects.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, there's no script writing happening now. I would assure you that. I mean, as far as this, at least no legitimate script writing happening while this stuff is while this strike is going on. So yeah, I mean, it's any sort of in development. You know, what does that mean at this point without writers? Who knows? And you know, so I guess, you know, we'll see what kind of transpires and how much that holds things up. I mean, it's interesting because the last time there was a writer's strike was right on the eve of Rise of Cobra's release, and we've heard all sorts of stories about how Rise of Cobra suffered.
Was affected massively, wasn't it? Yeah,
big time. They had to kind of shoehorn another, you know, Steven Summers movie into it, and the revisions weren't happening on time. It was just from every, you know, everything
heard,
it was kind of a disaster.
I want to say it was way further along at that point, Rise of Cobra development, but. Yeah. You never really know, though, do you? And you're right. This is the point. This is the stage, the development stage, where the writing, the script has to be on point, has to be done. So you're right. Yeah, like, oh, geez.
Yeah,
okay.
And you can't.
Great timing.
Like, if you reach a scene that needs to be rewritten, if you know the Writers Guild is on strike, legally you can't rewrite it. I mean, I guess the director or something could
just fill stuff
do
in.
Some rewrites, but. They don't necessarily have the skills to do that, so who knows what the end result would be. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, honestly, you know, from my perspective, I mean, the writers deserve whatever we can pay them, so you know, I definitely support
right now
100%. But
just the classic timing, isn't it? It's like every time they want to develop a G.I. Joe movie, it's like, oh, we'll, you know, just have a writer's strike.
Yeah, well, maybe they saw the first draft, like, that's it, we're out, you know, don't attach us to this garbage.
Brilliant. Hopefully we'll find out from Daniel Richtman, not Daniel Radcliffe, very soon about that. Anyway, Justin, buddy, thanks for jumping on and chatting with me about the news. We'll be back, obviously, with any more that pops out, any other developments that creep up. We'll be jumping on together again to try and churn out a movie news burst extra. Thank you very much, buddy, for jumping on.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Justin Bell. See you next time. And as always, after 3, 1, 2, 3,
Full Force.
See you later. That's it for this installment of the Full Force Movie News Burst. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com patreon.com/thefullforcepodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.